That's good. When we don't have enough seats for everybody, please don't stand right in front of the door because people can't get in and out who need to leave then. Okay. And if you'd please stay seated when we are handing things out. Those that are seated will get the documents first. And we'll have enough for everybody, but just one per person. If you need copies, you are welcome to make your own copies. Okay. Why don't we return then to the mental health bill? That's House Article 5, the side-by-side. And I think we had just a few parts to go through that were not identical.
Madam Chair, I think we finished the mental health going through the walkthrough.
No, there were sections we didn't talk about. We just skipped over them.
Oh. I think the first section was.
And I think we begin on section 20.
Madam Chair, section 20 is a House-only provision that instructs the Commissioner of Human Services to report to the legislature regarding funds that were transferred to the counties to employ state registered nurses. And it asks that this report address ways to dedicate these positions to the nurses that are currently employed in them.
We will hold that item.
Section 21, Madam Chair, is House only. Case management best practices requires the Commissioner of Human Services to consult with stakeholders and make recommendations regarding to adult mental health case management.
We will hold that item.
Section 22, Madam Chair, is the Regional Children's Mental Health Initiative. This is a two-year pilot project for seven counties in South Central Minnesota to work together to develop mental health services for individuals in that region.
We'll hold that item.
Madam Chair, Section 23 is House only, trauma-focused evidence-based practices to children. It provides that organizations who are certified to provide CTSS services are eligible to provide apply for a grant.
We will hold that item.
Section 24, Madam Chair, is a dual diagnosis demonstration project for high-risk adults with serious mental illness and substance abuse disorders.
We'll hold that item.
Section 25 is the MFIP and Children's Mental Health Pilot Project. It's a two-year pilot to study the impact of children's mental health needs on the MFIP participants' ability to obtain and maintain employment.
We will hold that item.
The last two sections are Senate-only sections. Section 37 recommends changes to the Consolidated Chemical Dependency Treatment Fund and requires a report to the legislature by January 15, 2008.
We'll hold that item.
And Section 38 is a plan for improving community-based substance abuse treatment that also requires a report to the legislature by January 15, 2008.
And we'll hold that item.
And that is the end of the mental health article, Madam Chair.
Are there any questions about any of the provisions in the article? Okay. I think we have Article 1 now back in the revisor. And it is the article on children and families in the House and the child care children and families in the Senate.
Madam Chair and members, Article 1, Section 1 is a house-only provision. It adds child care assistance programs to the list of programs able to exchange data for purposes of monitoring benefits.
Okay, we'll hold that item.
Section 2 adds Chapter 119B, which is the child care chapter, to the list of chapters prohibiting charging interest on overpayment benefits.
Okay, we'll hold that item.
Article 2, Section 1 is a Senate-only provision. It amends child care statutes to allow child care assistance for participants in the new family stabilization services.
And we'll hold that item.
Article 1, Section 1 is a Senate-only provision. Discontinues the 3% transfer from the basic sliding fee fund to the at-home infant care program.
We'll hold that item.
House Section 3, Senate Article 2, Section 2 are similar. They amend child care statutes to allow child care assistance for participants in the new Family Stabilization Services program. There's a technical difference, and staff recommends the Senate.
Madam Chair, I would move the Senate language in Article Section 3.
Any discussion? We have everybody we need in here.
He was here. Does he have to be here?
We did recess and we did have a quorum. I just, out of courtesy, wanted to see if people wanted to be in here to be voting. So I guess not. So those in favor say aye.
Aye.
Aye. Aye.
Opposed? Motion is adopted.
House Section 4 and Senate Article 1, Section 2 adjust the entry level for child care assistance to 250% of the federal poverty guidelines for certain families. These provisions are identical in both bills.
The House end.
Chair, I'd move that we adopt Section 4.
Any questions? Seeing none, those in favor say aye.
Aye.
Opposed? Motion is adopted.
House Section 5 is a house-only section. It limits the retroactivity for payments to 6 months from the date of application for child care assistance payments. And this section is effective July 1st of 2008.
We'll hold that item.
House Section 6 is a house-only section. Payments by sources other than the family as part of child care expenses do not affect program eligibility, and the amount paid is excluded from family income if the funds are paid directly to the child care provider on behalf of the family, and this requires documentation.
Okay, we'll hold that item.
House Section 3 is related to the child care fees. It clarifies that the sliding fee nature of child care services. It requires a conversion of eligibility requirements and parent fee schedules to a standard based on family size of 3, and implements this by July 1st of 2008. Requires a commissioner to report to the 2008 legislature with statutory changes needed to codify this. The Senate approach to changing the child care fees is in the next section. Both the House and Senate reduced child care fees, the child care fee schedule. The House bases the fee schedule on the poverty guidelines beginning July 1st of 07, and then beginning July 1st of 08, they convert it to the state median income, whereas the Senate puts the child care fee schedule into statute beginning July 1st of 08 based on the state median income. I have the amounts of the fees that they would actually be copied if you'd like that. They're a little bit different.
Why don't we hold this item and we'll hand that out for people to take home and do homework.
Okay. House only Section 9 It makes an addition to the list of persons who cannot be legal non-licensed child care providers for persons who are found guilty of wrongfully obtaining public assistance.
We'll hold on that item.
House Section 10 and Senate Article 1, Section 4 relate to the subsidy to child care providers. The Senate increases the child care assistance rates by 3%, and the House increases it by 2%. The House also adds a half-day rate and a special needs rate for school readiness service agreements in a House section that's later in this article.
We'll hold that item.
Section 11 allows a rate differential for a child care development associate credential and a post-baccalaureate degree.
Hold that item.
Section 12, House only, limits the retroactivity of payment to 6 months from the date the provider is issued an authorization of care and a billing form.
We'll hold that item.
House Section 13 and Senate Article 1, Section 5 relate to the absent day policy. The language in the two bills are identical. However, there's different effective dates. The Senate makes the section effective July 1st of 08. The House makes the section effective July 1st of 07, except for the last paragraph, which allows counties to pay for more absent days if they wish, which is effective July 1st of 08.
Ms. White, would it be possible to adopt the identical language and just hold on the effective dates?
Yes.
Okay.
Madam Chair, then I would move that we, in Section 13, we adopt the identical language, but do not include the effective dates.
Okay, any discussion? Seeing none, those in favor say aye.
Aye.
Opposed? The motion is adopted.
Section 14 is a House-only section. It adds to the existing grant provisions in the child care services grants to allow grants for supporting effective teacher-child interactions, child-focused teaching, and content-driven classroom instruction.
We'll hold on that item.
House Section 15 and Senate, Senate File 1221, Article 1, Section 1, which has passed the Senate floor. The language is identical. It clarifies that for a child under the guardianship of the commissioner or a tribe recognized by the Secretary of Interior, the commissioner may contract with a licensed child placing agency or a tribal social service agency to provide adoption services. And it specifies that such a contract must supplement and not replace existing county or tribe social services. Which is identical.
Madam Chair, I would move that we adopt Section 15.
Any discussion? Seeing none, those in favor say aye.
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 Opposed? Motion is adopted.
House Section 16 is a House-only section. It specifies how fees for service of a subpoena must be paid and how subpoenas are enforced. It allows DHS to subpoena witnesses, cooperate with other state agencies in specified instances, and administers oaths and affirmations.
We'll hold this item.
House only Section 17 deals with the immigrant status verifications. As a requirement that the commissioner use the Federal Systematic Alien Verification for Entitlements Program to conduct immigration status verifications for all MFIP and food assistance recipients at recertification rather than at just time of application, and it removes obsolete language.
We'll hold this item.
House only Section 18 relates to administrative simplification. It requires the commissioner to establish an advisory committee to identify ways to simplify and streamline human services laws and administrative requirements. Specifies the makeup of the advisory committee, the duties of the advisory committee, and requires the commissioner, in partnership with the committee, to report to the legislature by December 15th of each year. And this paragraph expires June 30th of 2012.
I believe that this is identical to a bill that passed on the floor of the Senate on general orders yesterday. So maybe we could just ask the staff to check on it and see if the language is identical, and we'll put it on hold for now.
Okay. House only, section 19. It allows DHS and county agencies direct access to data matching on information relating to workers' comp claims in order to determine whether the claimant has reported the fact of a pending claim or the amount to or on behalf of the claimant to DHS.
We'll hold this item.
House only, section 20. It adds child care assistance programs to the compliance powers of the commissioner.
We'll hold this item.
House only, section 21, allows penalties assessed to child care assistance programs to be reallocated to counties.
Hold this item.
House only, section 22, adds Minnesota Care to the list of programs for which overpayments become a judgment by operation of law 90 days after the notice of overpayment is served upon a recipient.
We'll hold this item.
House only, section 23, adds Minnesota Care and Child Care Assistance programs to the list of programs for which applications must be in writing or reduced to writing, and for which the application must contain a specified declaration that must be signed by the applicant.
We'll hold this item.
House only, section 24, requires the commissioner to charge a transaction fee to public assistance cardholders. Current law provides that the first four transactions per month are free and that the commissioner may charge $1 for additional cash withdrawals to a maximum of $10 per month.
We'll hold this item.
Section 25 is similar to a provision in Senate File 2190 relating to the expiration of food support benefits and food support reporting. Subdivision 1 prohibits food support benefits from expiring unless the benefits have not been accessed for 12 months after the month they were issued. And Subdivision 2 requires DHS to implement simplified reporting as permitted by federal law. There's technical differences in the language, and the staff recommends the Senate with regard to the language. The House makes Subdivision 1 effective February 1st of 08, and Subdivision 2 effective May 1st of 08. The Senate language is effective July 1st of 07.
Is there a reason for the difference in effective dates?
I have no idea.
Madam.
Well, I think we should move the language and maybe hold on the effective dates. As I recall, this is a small cost, and it has a lot of savings in the out years, so delaying the start of it is mission to me. Representative Walker?
Madam Chair, thank you. You're right. They're actually, DHS gave a fiscal note for the first year and then savings in the upcoming years, about 17 for each year, but I think it was delaying it because of the cost, the initial cost.
Okay.
So.
Well, you either pay for it the first year, you pay for it the second year, and you either get savings this biennium or you get them in the tails.
I think that's.
But why don't we just hold on those effective?
I also, Madam Chair, I also think there's testimony that they couldn't get it going by July 1st. They couldn't make the change to their system. I'm not sure if that. That's my recollection.
All right. Well, why don't we just hold on the effective dates then? And
Madam Chair, I would move the language from the Senate in Section 25, but hold off on the implementation dates.
Any discussion? Seeing none, those in favor say aye.
Aye.
Opposed? The motion is adopted.
Where's there?
Section 26 is a house-only provision, and it reinstates the crisis nursery program, similar to the one in effect prior, I think, to 2003.
We'll hold on that item.
House Section 27 and Senate Article 2, Section 4 are identical. They prohibit the Commissioner of Human Services from moving programs or activities funded with MFIP or TANF maintenance of effort funds to other funding sources without legislative approval.
Madam Chair, I would move adoption of Section 27.
Any discussion? Seeing none, those in favor say aye.
Aye. Aye.
Opposed? The motion is adopted.
House only Section 28 is a technical federal compliance section. It adds a reference to the Federal Deficit Reduction Act of 2005.
Ms. White, is this a federal compliance issue that has to be adopted this year?
This section is related to the requirements in the Federal Compliance Act. I mean, we have to abide by federal law, whether or not it's in our statute. But this adds a cross-reference to clarify that the section is affected by that act. It's a recommendation of DHS. There's a couple sections like this that the House has in their bill.
I think the Senate's probably okay with adopting this.
Madam Chair, I would move adoption of Section 28.
Any discussion? Seeing none, those in favor say aye.
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 Opposed? Motion is adopted.
Madam Chair, House only Section 29 is another section that adds the reference to the Federal Deficit Reduction Act of 2005.
Madam Chair, I'd move adoption of Section 29.
Any discussion? Seeing none, those in favor say aye.
Aye. Aye.
Opposed? Motion is adopted.
Madam Chair, House Section 30 and Senate Article 2, Section 5 clarify that the program established. It relates to separate state programs for use of state money. The House and Senate language are similar related to the two-parent households. However, the House adds the term "and each year thereafter," which I think is relatively technical. The Senate also adds a new subdivision related to the Family Stabilization Services and clarifies that it is funded as a separate state program.
Is there a recommendation on the language related to the two-parent households?
I don't think it matters. I mean, it says effective July 1st of 2006, blah, blah, blah. Well, the House added and each their year thereafter. I think it's implicit that that's what's happening, so I think the Senate language is fine.
Okay. Madam Chair, I would move we adopt the Senate language in Section 31.
We're only,
I think, adopting the part that relates to two-parent households. Just the top half of that.
Okay. So I would change my motion that we adopt the Senate language relating to two-parent households.
Mm-hmm. Okay. Any discussion? Seeing none, those in favor say aye.
Aye. Aye.
Opposed? Motion is adopted.
House Section 31 and Senate Article 2, Section 6 is identical, except the House has an immediate effective date. It modifies the MFIP definition of participant to include individuals in the new Family Stabilization Program.
And is there some significance to the effective date?
Of the House?
Well, that's the only difference here, I think.
Not that I know of.
Senate.
Well, Madam Chair, then I'll move the House language in Section 31.
Okay. Any discussion? Seeing none, those in favor say aye.
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 Opposed? Motion is adopted.
Senate only, Article 2, Section 7, modifies the provision that imposes property limitations on MFIT participants by striking the vehicle loan value cap for one vehicle.
We'll hold this item.
Section 32 is a House only provision. It excludes cash payments to certain full-time volunteers from income when determining MFIT eligibility.
We'll hold this item.
Section 33 is a House only provision, and it increases the income exit level from 115% of poverty to 140% of the federal poverty guidelines.
We'll hold this item. And I would call to your attention while we're on this article that there is a memo from the department that compares the work participation rates of the various proposals that have been provided to the or that have been discussed or submitted to the legislature this year. Do not have it, Representative Walker. We'll make copies then and make sure everybody has one.
Senate only, Article 2, Section 8, requires the county agency to determine whether a caregiver meets the requirements of the Family Stabilization Services at recertification.
We'll hold this item.
House only, Section 34, prohibits MFIT participants from purchasing tobacco products or alcohol with their EBT card.
Well, it seems like the House has this in their bill every year, so we'll put a hold on this item.
This could be the year, Madam Chair.
However,
have you gotten your fiscal note on it yet?
Madam Chair.
Representative Walker.
Thank you, Madam Chair. I did my best in making sure
was
that...
Mr. Chairman, excuse me. Was this a floor amendment?
This was a floor
You should be getting a fiscal note on it soon then.
Yes, we tried to get Representative Seifer to remember that there was a fiscal note and fiscal implications. However, it didn't matter Friday night.
All right.
I'm sure it's related to a earlier provision that you had about charging fees for the withdrawal, cash withdrawals.
You had that, not us.
That's what I'm saying. I'm saying that's how they paid for it. That's what
I see.
So they're related. I just want to let you know they're related provisions.
I see. Okay. Thank you for that information.
Madam Chair.
If I might just ask Representative Thiessen, who gets the fees? The bank?
Yes. That's in my amendment.
Madam Chair.
All right.
Madam Chair, Representative Seifert could come if you wanted to talk about it at length at some later meeting if you would like.
No, thank you.
He's willing to come, I'm sure. So just it's a standing offer, Madam Chair.
You know, depending on how long we have for the conference committee, I don't think it'll be necessary, however.
Not taking that, huh?
All right, let's go on.
House only, Section 35 relates to the time limit and clarifies that months during which any cash assistance is received by an assistance unit with a mandatory member who is disqualified for wrongfully obtaining public assistance count toward the time limit for the disqualified member. Sections effective October 1st of 2007.
So we'll hold this item.
House Section 36 is similar to Senate Article 2, Section 9. It expands the eligibility for assistance under the hardship extension. There's a technical difference, and the staff recommends the House language.
Madam Chair, I'll move the House language in Section 36.
Any discussion? Seeing none, those in favor say aye.
Aye.
Opposed? The motion is adopted.
House Section 34, Senate Article 2, Section 10, modify eligibility for assistance under the hardship extension by removing the minimum average hours per week, and it removes the definition of employment. The provisions are identical.
Madam Chair, I'll move we adopt Section 37.
Any discussion? Seeing none, those in favor say aye.
Aye.
Opposed? The provision is adopted.
House only section 38 prohibits participants from being sanctioned for failure to meet employment plan hourly requirements because the participant is not eligible for holiday pay or the participant is meeting or exceeding the TANF work rate.
Okay, we'll hold that item.
House Section 39, Senate Article 2, Section 11 are identical. They prohibit unpaid work performed in return for cash assistance and does not count toward... I'll read mine. Modifies the definition of work activity to prohibit unpaid work performed in return for cash assistance unless the participant voluntarily agrees in writing to engage in unpaid work. The participant may terminate the unpaid work agreement in writing at any time.
Madam Chair, I'd move adoption of Section 39.
Any discussion? Seeing none, those in favor say aye.
Aye.
Opposed? The motion is adopted.
House Section 40, Senate Article 2, Section 12 are identical. They require an MFIP job counselor who's assessing an MFIP participant to determine if the participant should be referred to the Family Stabilization Services.
Madam Chair, I'll move we adopt Section 40.
Any discussion? Seeing none, those in favor say aye.
Aye. Aye.
Opposed? Motion is adopted.
House Section 41 and Senate Article 2, Section 13 add language encouraging a job counselor to allow participants who are participating in at least 20 hours of work activity to also participate in training activities in order to meet the federal hourly participation rates. The House also adds a new paragraph G and H, which limits sanctions under certain circumstances, similar to the circumstances in Section 38.
Okay, so is everything except paragraphs G and H identical?
Yes.
So why don't we adopt those and just hold on those two that are...
Madam Chair, I'll move Section 41 except paragraphs G and H.
Any discussion? Seeing none, those in favor say aye.
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 Opposed? The motion is adopted.
House only Section 42... requires single caregivers to develop or revise their employment plan when the single caregiver is moved to the non-maintenance of effort state-funded program. Specifies plan requirements. And paragraph B requires counties to coordinate services. And paragraph C allows activities and hourly requirements in the employment plan to be adjusted as necessary to accommodate circumstances of the participant.
We'll hold this item.
House Section 43, Senate Article 2, Section 14 are identical. They strike language requiring the participant to work at least 20 hours per week in order for a post-secondary education or training program to be improved an approved work activity.
Madam Chair, I move Section 43.
Any discussion? Seeing none, those in favor say aye.
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 Opposed? The motion is adopted.
House Section 44 and Senate Article 2, Section 15 modify hourly work participation requirements for MFIP participants. They're identical.
Madam Chair, I'll move Section 44.
Any discussion? Seeing none, those in favor say aye.
Aye. Aye.
Madam Chair, House Section 45, Senate Article 2, Section 16, established the Family Stabilization Services. Subdivision 1 is a purpose. Subdivision 2 provides the definitions. Subdivision 3 are the eligibility requirements. Subdivision 4 is the universal participation requirements. Subdivision 5 relates to case management and coordinated services and the plans. Subdivision 6 relates to cooperation with the service requirements. And Subdivision 7 specifies the sanctions for the program. And Subdivision 8 relates to the funding for the program. If you would like me to go into more detail, I can. It's my understanding that there are some technical differences in the language, and it's my understanding that the advocates prefer the Senate language because some of the technical amendments didn't get into the House.
Yeah, I also believe that the differences here are amendments that were requested by the counties to the Senate bill. If you want more time for us to check that out, we can hold this. But
I think we should go with the Senate language, Madam Chair.
All right.
Madam Chair, I would move the Senate language in Section 45.
Any discussion? Seeing none, those in favor say aye.
Aye.
Opposed? The motion is adopted.
Article 2, Section 17 is a Senate-only provision. It provides a $100 per month work participation bonus for participants who are exiting the diversionary work program or terminating MFIP due to earnings and are working the number of hours specified in this section. This section is effective February 1st of 2009.
We'll hold this section.
Madam Chair, Section 46 relates to the consolidated fund. The House language permits the consolidated fund to be used for case management only for family stabilization. Senate language allows the funds to be used for case management in general.
Madam Chair, could someone explain just generally why the case management generally? Maybe I think we could go with the Senate language, but I'd just like to.
Well, sometimes case management services are offered to clients other than those who would be in the family stabilization program, and the consolidated fund is.
If I may, I think, Madam Chair, that this was another one of those sections that the counties modified, and the House didn't get it into their bill. This was one of those sections.
We're okay with the Senate language.
Okay.
Madam Chair, I would move we adopt the Senate language in Section 46.
Any discussion? Seeing none, those in favor say aye.
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 Opposed? The motion is adopted.
Madam Chair, House Section 47 and Senate Article 2, Section 19 are identical. They are in regard to allowable expenditures under the consolidated fund and authorizing use of those funds for the family stabilization services.
Madam Chair, I move that we adopt Section 47.
Any discussion? Seeing none, those in favor say aye.
Aye.
Opposed? The motion is adopted.
Madam Chair, House Section 48, Senate Article 2, Section 20 are identical. Incorporates family stabilization services into the MFIP consolidated fund.
Madam Chair.
Maybe do the next two together. Do you want to explain the next one also?
House Section 49, Senate Article 2, Section 21 are identical. They incorporate family stabilization services into the MFIP consolidated fund by allowing the fund to pay for expenditures related to the new program.
Madam Chair, I move that we adopt Sections 48 and 49.
Any discussion? Seeing none, those in favor say aye.
Aye.
Opposed? The motion is adopted.
Madam Chair, House Section 50, Senate Article 2, Section 22, incorporate the family stabilization services into the MFIP consolidated fund, allowing the fund to pay for expenditures related to the new program. There are technical differences in the cross-reference, and staff recommends Senate language.
Madam Chair, I move that we adopt the Senate language in Section 50.
Any discussion? Seeing none, those in favor say aye.
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 Opposed? Motion is adopted.
And Madam Chair, Section 51 of the House version, Article 2, Section 23, are basically technical that strike cross-references to a subdivision that's being repealed, striking an outdated report. There is a technical difference related to the cross-reference, but staff recommends Senate language.
Madam Chair, I move that we adopt the Senate language in Section 51.
Any discussion? Seeing none, those in favor say aye.
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 Opposed? The motion is adopted.
Madam Chair and members, Sections 52 and 53 are House only. They are updating federal statutory references and adding a reference to the Federal Deficit Reduction Act.
Both of these are?
Yes, ma'am.
Okay, I think we're all right with accepting those.
Madam Chair, I move that we adopt Section 52 and Section 53.
Any discussion? Seeing none, those in favor say aye.
Aye. Aye.
Opposed? Motion is adopted.
Madam Chair, Section 54 is a House-only provision that exempts certain newly arrived refugees from the Diversionary Work Program.
We'll hold that item.
Madam Chair, Section 55 modifies the information. The referral to the Diversionary Work Program must contain. It's a House-only provision.
We'll hold that item.
Madam Chair, Section 56 has no similar Senate provision. It provides funds appropriated for the purpose of the Runaway and Homeless Youth Act, may be used for programs defined in the Act as well as technical assistance.
We'll hold that item.
Madam Chair and members, House Section 57 and is identical to Senate File 1221, Article 1, Section 1. It is regarding adoption of children 14 years and older and requires that they provide written consent by a particular person.
Do you want to do the next one also?
Section 58 is identical to Senate File 1221, Article 1, Section 3. This is regarding referrals for post-placement assessments and clarifies when an adoption petition is filed that the court administrator must immediately transmit the copy of the petition to the Commissioner of Human Services under specified circumstances.
Madam Chair, I'll move that we adopt Sections 57 and 58.
Any discussion? Seeing none, those in favor say aye.
Aye. Aye.
Opposed? The motion is adopted.
Madam Chair and members, House Section 59 is identical to Senate File 1221, Article 1, Section 4. This, again, is related to adoption petitions and instructs the court administrator to immediately transmit a copy of the petition to the Commissioner of Human Services under specified circumstances.
You want to describe the next one also?
The next section is Section 60, which is identical to Senate Article 2, Section 24. Both of these provisions add two new criteria for eligibility for adoption assistance, the first being adoption according to tribal law, the second being a child 5 years of age or older.
Madam Chair, I move that we adopt Sections 59 and 60.
Any discussion? Seeing none, those in favor say aye.
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 Opposed? The motion is adopted.
Madam Chair and members, Section 61 is identical to Senate File 2112, Article 1, Section 5. It's regard to the reimbursement of adoption costs for licensed child placing agencies and local tribal social service agencies. It allows the commissioner to spend up to $16,000 for each purchase of service agreement.
Madam Chair, I move that we adopt the House language for Section 61.
Any discussion? Seeing none, those in favor say aye.
Aye. Aye.
Opposed? The motion is adopted.
Madam Chair, House Section 62 is identical to Senate File 1221, Article 1, Section 1. And it strikes language that allows deferral of listing a child with the adoption exchange even though the child refuses to consent to an adoption plan.
And you want to do the next one, the next three?
Yes, ma'am. Section 63 is identical to Senate File 1221, Article 1, Section 1, and Article 2, Section 2 of this bill. It requires reasonable efforts to finalize a permanent home for the child to include consideration of homes both in the state of Minnesota and outside the state of Minnesota. Section 64 is identical to Senate File 1221, Article 1, Section 8. It refers to Native American group under the Alaska Native Claims Settlement Act and strikes the words exercising tribal government powers. Section 65 is tribal courts. That's identical to Senate File 1221, Article 1, Section 9. It deletes federally recognized from the definition of tribal court.
Madam Chair, I move that we adopt Section 62, 63, 64, and 65.
Any discussion? Seeing none, those in favor say aye.
Aye.
Opposed? The motion is adopted.
Madam Chair, the next three sections on page 21 are identical to provisions in Senate File 1221. The first is identification of extended family members, and it specifies that an agency must make active efforts to identify and locate extended family before placing an Indian child. Section 67 reiterates that an agency must make active efforts to identify and locate extended family. Section 68, Indian tribe jurisdiction. It clarifies that an Indian tribe has exclusive jurisdiction over Indian children, no matter where they reside or are domiciled, except when jurisdiction is otherwise vested in the state by federal law.
Madam Chair, I move we adopt Sections 66, 67, and 68.
Any discussion of the motion? Seeing none, those in favor say aye.
Aye.
Opposed? The motion is adopted.
Madam Chair, Section 69 is identical to Senate File 1221, Article 1, Section 13, with the exception of some technical differences. This section makes clear that the Federal Indian Child Welfare Act and the Minnesota Family Preservation Act are always applicable to any child custody proceeding. Staff recommends the House language.
Okay, do you want to do the next one, too?
Yes. Section 70 is identical to Senate File 1221, Article 1, Section 14, with the exception of some technical differences. This is in regard to placement procedures through interstate compact. It sets out the requirements for home studies, received reports, resources, incentive eligibility, data requirements, definitions, background study requirements, and home visits. Staff recommends House language.
Madam Chair, I move that we adopt the House language in Section 69 and 70.
Any discussion? Seeing none, those in favor say aye.
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 Opposed? The motion is adopted.
Madam Chair and members, on page 23, Section 71, 72, 73, and 74 are identical to provisions in Senate File 1221. The first is investigation and requires the court to order a chemical use assessment in delinquency cases under specified circumstances and to order a mental health assessment for any youth found to be delinquent. Section 72 provides that foster parents, including pre-adoptive parents or relatives who are caring for the child, have the right to be heard at any review hearing held for the child. Section 73 adds that a permanency hearing, the court needs to ensure that the child is consulted in an age-appropriate manner. Section 74 states that time spent on a trial home visit does count toward the time requirements under which a permanency hearing must be conducted. Current law provides that time on a trial home visit does not count in the time calculation.
Madam Chair, I move that we adopt sections 71, 72, 73, and 74.
Any discussion? Seeing none, those in favor say aye.
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 Opposed? Motion is adopted.
Madam Chair, on page 24, section 75 is basically identical, except for some technical wording differences, to Senate File 1221, Article 1, Section 18. It provides that in cases where parental rights have been terminated, the out-of-home placement plan must include child-specific recruitment efforts in-state and out-of-state. It also requires that, if appropriate, the child be given a copy of the child's health and education records when discharged from foster care. The technical difference is that the Senate refers to in-state and interstate placements. The House references placements in and outside of the state.
Is there a recommendation?
The staff made no recommendation.
Madam Chair.
Representative Walker.
Thank you, Madam Chair. The department prefers the House language.
Great.
Okay. Madam Chair, I move that we adopt the House language in Section 75.
Any discussion? Seeing none, those in favor say aye.
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 Opposed? The motion is adopted.
Madam Chair, Section 76 and 77 are identical to provisions in Senate File 1221. The first section adds that when a child leaves foster care because he or she reached the age of majority, the child must be given a copy of their health and education report at no cost. Section 77 requires negotiation of a voluntary placement agreement between a responsible social service agency and a child's parent when the child is voluntarily placed in care due to a developmental delay or an emotional handicap. It prohibits transfer of legal custody to the department and requires agencies to report to the commissioner the number of children placed under the subdivision.
Adopt all those sections.
Madam Chair, I would move that we adopt Section 76 and 77.
Any discussion? Seeing none, those in favor say aye.
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 Opposed? Motion is adopted.
Madam Chair and members, the remaining sections on page 25 are identical to provisions in Senate File 1221. Section 78 provides that a child who's under the guardianship of the commissioner and is legally eligible for adoption cannot refuse or waive efforts for placement in an adoptive home. Section 79 provides that income does not include the earnings of a child over 18 who is transitioning from foster care. Section 80 requires adds child care assistance programs to the list of programs the Commissioner of Revenue may disclose information to the Commissioner of Human Services. Section 81 adds that in the case of sexual abuse, it's considered substantial child endangerment when the alleged abuser is a person who has a significant relationship to the child. Section 82 makes a technical correction to the statute regarding persons mandated to report allegations of abuse and neglect. Section 83 states that the local welfare agency is responsible for investigating allegations of child sexual abuse if the offender is a parent, guardian, sibling, or an individual in the family unit responsible for the child's care, or a person with a significant relationship to the child.
Madam Chair, I move that we adopt sections 78, 79, 80, 81, 82, and 83.
Excuse me, Madam Chair. Actually, section 80 is a house-only provision.
Right. So why don't we just hold that one?
Provisional. Whatever it does.
80.
Oh, sorry.
So it would be,
yep.
The motion would,
yeah,
be.
Madam Chair, then I move that we adopt sections 78, 79, 81, 82, and 83.
Any discussion? Seeing none, those in favor say aye.
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 Opposed? Motion is adopted.
Madam Chair, sections 84 and 85 are identical to provisions in Senate File 1221. In addition, section 85 language also appears in Senate Article 2, Section 6. 84 provides that law enforcement is responsible for investigating any report of child maltreatment when it is a violation of a criminal statute. 58 is regarding the duties of the local welfare agency and law enforcement upon receipt of a report. Add sexual abuse by a person with a significant relationship to the child is a maltreatment to be investigated by the local welfare agency. And adds that the local welfare agency can share not public information with an Indian tribe social service agency without violating confidentiality laws.
Madam Chair, I move that we adopt sections 84 and 85.
Is there any discussion? Seeing none, those in favor say aye.
Aye. Aye.
Opposed? Motion is adopted.
Madam Chair, in section 86, there's a technical difference between the language in Senate File 1221, Article 1, Section 26. This section provides that when a violation of a criminal statute is alleged, that law enforcement is the primary agency responsible for investigating the alleged maltreatment if that maltreatment does not fall under the jurisdiction of the local welfare agency. Provides that the local agency may rely on law enforcement's findings in their investigation of abuse or neglect. Staff recommends House language.
Madam Chair, I would move that we adopt the House language in section 86.
Any discussion? Seeing none, those in favor say aye.
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 Opposed? Motion is adopted.
Madam Chair and members, sections 87 and 88 are identical to provisions in Senate File 1221. The first makes a technical correction in the Maltreatment of Minors Act regarding the duties of local service agencies when they receive a report of medical neglect. Section 88 requires the commissioner to include in the notice of determination of maltreatment that the finding of maltreatment may result in the denial of a license application or in a background study disqualification.
Madam Chair, I move that we adopt sections 87 and 88.
Is there any discussion? Seeing none, those in favor say aye.
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 Opposed? Motion is adopted.
Madam Chair and members, section 89 is the Kinship Navigator Program. This is contained in the body of the bill as well as a House rider. The Senate includes this language as a Senate rider. It instructs the Commissioner of Human Services to fund a 2-year demonstration grant for the Kinship Navigator Program. It states that one demonstration project is to be in the metro area and the other in the Bemidji area.
So we have very similar language but not identical?
Yes.
Is there a recommendation as to which we should take?
I think that's a question that you have to decide, because in one case it's entirely rider language in the Senate version. In the House version, it's in the body of the bill, plus there is rider language.
Well, I think the reason that the Senate made it rider language is because it's just funded for on a one-time basis.
Madam Chair, I would move that we adopt the Senate language in section 89.
Any discussion?
Madam Chair.
Representative Walker.
Thank you, Madam Chair. Just briefly, the only question that I have at for the Senate rider, I know that there were looking at something specific for this, for the area of Bemidji, for the House version, and so was the Senate version the same?
Yes. Any other questions? Seeing none, those in favor say aye.
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 Opposed? Motion is adopted.
Madam Chair and members, Section 90 is a House-only provision. It is authorizing an MFIP pilot project in Benton and Stearns counties to expand the Workforce U program.
Put this item on hold. Before we leave this page, members, I'm just a little concerned about the number of pages that the adoption of the provisions in Senate File 1221 add to the bill. It's about 65 pages. And so I think we just have to be cognizant of whether we're going to have enough time when we are told what time we have to be done to get 65 more pages through the revisor's office. So I just want to mention that concern, because this none of Senate File 1221 has any fiscal impact. It would not need to be in this bill in order to be passed this year. And it would not have the same deadline that our omnibus funding provisions would have. So we'll come back and review that issue later. I just wanted to raise it now. Representative Abler.
Madam Chair, just to that point, I know in the past they've encouraged staff or directed staff to begin revising some of those sections in, to make it more expeditious, as I recall.
Representative Abler, I did ask our staff if we created a separate article for this adoption language that was in Senate File 1221, if it would expedite things, and they said it would not. And obviously we have other provisions in here that haven't been adopted yet. I think all of the provisions for 1221 have been adopted.
That's correct, Madam Chair, and we can send them over to the revisor tonight after we're done with this hearing, if you wish.
Yeah, okay. I think that would be fine. The question still is relevant in terms of processing of the whole bill. All right, let's go on then.
Madam Chair and members, on page 28, section 91 is very similar to a Senate rider. There's a technical difference. This is in regard to the Leech Lake Youth Treatment Center proposal, and it instructs the Commissioner of Human Services to provide a planning grant to develop a culturally relevant alcohol and drug treatment center for American Indian youth. The staff recommends the House language.
Madam Chair, I would move the House language in section 91.
And can I just ask, does it make any difference as to whether the language is in the bill or is a rider? It's not going to be codified if it's in the bill.
Correct. This is not codified language.
Okay. All right. And let's proceed. Those in favor of the motion say aye.
Aye.
Opposed? Motion is adopted.
Madam Chair, Section 92 is similar to Senate File 2190 with technical differences. It requires DHS to create a simplified application for the food support program, and it limits the length of the application. The staff recommends the Senate language.
Madam Chair, I would move that we adopt the Senate language in Section 92.
Side by side, things.
Any discussion? Seeing none, those in favor say aye.
Aye.
Opposed? Motion is adopted.
Madam Chair and members, Section 93 is a House-only provision regarding inspection of legal unlicensed child care providers. It would allow the Commissioners of Health, Human Services, and Education to develop and report to the legislature recommendations to allow one-time home visits to each legally unlicensed child care provider that receives child care assistance funds.
We'll put that on hold for now.
Madam Chair, Section 94 is similar to Article 1, Section 7. It requires the Commissioner of Human Services to identify training that meets the two-hour early childhood development training requirement for new child care practitioners. There are two subdivisions in this article. The House only addresses Subdivision 1 and Subdivision, or there are two. The House only has Subdivision 1, and the House and Senate are identical for Subdivision 2, except for a technical difference. Staff recommends the House version.
And so what's in Subdivision 1?
Subdivision 1 requires the development of a voluntary professional development system for practitioners.
Is there cost to that item?
Madam Chair, I do not know.
Let's put Subdivision 1 on hold and adopt Subdivision 2.
Madam Chair, I move that we adopt Subdivision 2 of Section 94.
Any discussion? Seeing none, those in favor say aye.
Aye.
Opposed? Motion is adopted.
Madam Chair and members, Sections 95 and 96 are House-only provisions. Section 95 allows the Commissioner to enter into agreements with a maximum of 50 child care providers to support school readiness for children. Section 96 establishes a family, friend, and neighbor grant program and specifies the components of the program.
We'll put both of those on hold.
Madam Chair and members, Section 97 is a House-only provision that directs the Commissioner of Human Services to study the implications for provider availability and other implications of restricting state child care subsidies in accord with new state quality standards. Requires the results to be published by January 1, 2010.
We'll put that on hold.
Madam Chair, Section 98 is identical language to Senate rider language, and it appears it's also in Senate File 2190. It instructs the Commissioner of Human Services to issue an RFP for a firm to monitor and evaluate programs receiving funding under the Runaway and Homeless Youth Act. The appropriation amounts in the two bills is different.
We'll put that on hold.
Madam Chair and members, Section 99 is revisor's instructions. They're identical in both in this bill and Senate File 2112, Article 1, Section 28. It instructs the revisor to renumber certain sections of statute and change references.
Madam Chair, I would move that we adopt Section 99.
Any discussion? Seeing none, those in favor say aye.
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 Opposed? The motion is adopted.
Madam Chair, the next section is a Senate-only section, Article 2, Section 25. It prohibits the state from assessing penalties against counties from October 2006 through October 2007 if the state fails to meet the federal work participation requirements and the state is penalized by a reduction in the TANF grant.
We'll put that item on hold.
Madam Section and members, the final section is Section 100. In the House bill and Article 2, Section 26 in the Senate bill, along with Senate File 1221, Article 1, Section 29, that is the repealer. There are two differences in the repealer.
What is the difference besides the family cap?
It is a termination of allocation. It's in the child care statute.
I guess we'll put this on hold. A little more information about it.
Madam Chair, before we move off this article, could I just return back to Section 45 briefly? And in Section 45, we adopted Senate language that creates the Family Stabilization Program. Mm-hmm. But in the House, there was actually an additional definition of case manager in Subdivision 2. Mm-hmm. And if I could, I'd like to maybe offer an amendment that we add that, keep that definition of case manager from the House language. It's not in the Senate language. And so if I could make a motion or...
Well, let's turn to the page in the language so we can look at it.
Yeah.
What page is this on?
It's on, Madam Chair, R55. And specifically... line 51.25.
What?
51.25. Okay, well, that seems compatible with the other definitions that the Senate has.
Yes.
So...
So is it? Can I just move that we add line 51.25 and 51.26 into the that we adopt that language?
Yes. You've heard Representative Thiessen's motion. Those in favor say aye.
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 Opposed? The motion is adopted. And then, members, if we want to go back to this repealer section, I'm told that all but two of the sections are identical. We could adopt all but the two sections that are not identical. Good
job. Madam Chair, then I move that in section 100 we adopt the repealers that are identical in both the House and Senate bills.
Any discussion?
What is this repeal, Madam Chair?
Representative Abler, this is section 100 of this article.
Wait, what is it repeal?
Well, if you just read through it, it repeals ineligibility for state-funded programs, rental subsidies, treatment of supplemental security income, performance-based funds, some kind of a report.
I was using just the raw language. I'm sorry, I didn't have the summary in front of me. So.
Okay.
I'm better informed on that, Madam Chair.
All right. Any other questions or discussion? Seeing none, those in favor say aye.
Aye.
Opposed? The motion is adopted. Okay. We have Department of Health Article 6 in the House.
Breaks about it.
Chair, House Article 6, Senate Article 7. First, House Sections 1 through 8 are identical to Senate File 1455 that is sitting in the floor.
We will hold on those.
House section number 9 through 13 and Senate section 6 through 10 deal with changes in the community-based health care initiative that was passed last year. They are identical except for section 9 and section 6 in the Senate, and that's a technical difference, and staff would recommend the House on that.
Madam Chair, I would move that we adopt the House language in section 9.
Any discussion? Seeing none, those in favor say aye.
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 Opposed? The motion is adopted.
Then in sections, House sections 10, 11, 12, and 13 are identical.
Madam Chair, I move that we adopt sections 10, 11, and 12.
13.
Section, House section 14.
No, we haven't voted yet.
Wait a minute.
Oh, I'm sorry.
We do want to go fast, but.
I move to adopt sections 10, 11, 12, and 13.
Any discussion? Seeing none, those in favor say aye.
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 Opposed? The motion is adopted.
And section House sections 14 through 21 are a recodification and changes to the Minnesota Health Records Act.
We'll hold all of that.
So close, so close.
So, Madam Chair, we're on section 22 for the House and section 18 for the Senate, and they're identical and they're related to the interconnected electronic health records grants. It expands the types of projects these grants can be used for.
Madam Chair, I move that we adopt section 22.
Any discussion? Seeing none, those in favor say aye.
Aye.
Opposed? The motion is adopted.
Madam Chair, we're just chatting. They're funded by different sources. We're adopting the policy language, but not the funding source. Is that right?
We're not adopting any of the spreadsheet. This is just the language, and then if that item is adopted, then we'll be ready to go.
Thank you.
Section 23 in the House and is identical to Senate File 1455, which is apparently on the floor still.
We'll hold that.
Section 24 then is House only, and it requires hospitals to establish an MRSA control program. It requires the commissioner to use best practice standards.
We'll hold that.
Madam Chair, we may have some different language from the department on that item.
Well, we're holding it, so.
Section 25 and 26 are related to doula services, their House-only language. Section 25 states that patients may be accompanied by family, a representative, or both, and current law only allows for one or the other.
We'll hold that item.
And section 26 provides that the chosen representative may include a doula.
We'll hold that item.
Section 27 is the same as, all right, well, we put House only because it's still on the floor in Senate File 1398, and we don't know if it'll be amended or not.
We'll hold that item.
Section 28 then is identical in the House as section 20 in the Senate, relating to fees for housing with services.
Madam Chair, I move that we adopt section 28.
Any discussion? Seeing none, those in favor say aye.
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 Opposed? Motion is adopted.
Madam Chair, section 29 in the is House only, and it prohibits abortions based on the sex of the unborn child.
We'll hold that item.
Section 30 in the House is identical to Section 21 in the Senate relating to federally qualified health centers.
Madam Chair, I move we adopt Section 30.
Any discussion? Seeing none, those in favor say aye.
Aye.
Aye. Opposed? Motion is adopted.
Section 31 is patient visitation in the House, and again, it's...
We'll hold that item.
Okay. And then Sections 32 to 35 are dealing with doula services, and they are House-only provisions.
Hold that item.
Madam Chair, then we're on Section 36. That's patient visitation again.
We'll hold that item.
The next provision is Senate-only, Section 22, relating to the hearing instrument dispensing fees.
We'll hold that item.
Okay, then Section 37 is identical to Section 23 in the Senate, and that is in relation to occupational therapists and occupational therapy assistant fees.
Do you want to do the rest of them on that page?
Sure. Sections 37 through 49 are all identical in the House to the Senate sections. Well, I guess there's a couple bills in finance.
We'll just take 37 through 41. I think one page at a time is good progress.
Madam Chair, Section 39 and 40 in the House are the same as bills that are still in finance in the Senate. Do you want to cover those now?
No.
Okay.
I didn't see that. I'm sorry.
Okay. So Section 37 and 38 then in the House are identical to Sections 23 and 24 in the Senate, and they're all relating to fees for occupational therapists.
Madam Chair, I would move that we adopt Sections 37 and 38.
Any discussion? Seeing none, those in favor say aye.
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 Opposed? The motion is adopted.
So you said we're holding on,
yes.
39 and 40. Section 41 through 43 is in relation to mortuary science fees, and they are identical in both the House and the Senate.
Madam Chair, I move that we adopt sections 41 through 43.
Any discussion? Seeing none, those in favor say aye.
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 Opposed? Motion is adopted.
Madam Chair, then we're on page 15, and the Senate-only provision relating, it's sections 28 and
20. Hold that item.
Okay. Section 44 in the House is House-only language, and it's relating to a license for special food event stands at one-day events.
We'll hold that item.
What?
Section 45 is House-only language, and it requires the State Community Health Services Advisory Committee to develop a plan to fund and implement the health promotion program.
We'll hold that item.
And Section 46 in the House is House-only language, and it's relating to a report on the costs of bringing actions for injunctive relief relating to housing with services establishments.
We'll hold that item.
Section 47 in the House is House only, and it is requiring the Commissioner of Health to establish a Diagnostic Imaging Services Advisory Committee and provides the duties of that committee.
We'll hold that item.
Section 48 is house only, and it prohibits any increase of fees relating to hearing aid dispensers until there can be a report relating to the needs and reasons for such increases.
We'll hold that item.
Section 32 is Senate only language, and that is reconvening the cervical cancer elimination study.
We'll hold that item.
And then the reviser instruction relates to the health records access, and that's house only.
Hold that item.
And then the repealer section, both the House and the Senate have the mortuary science fees, and then the House repeals one section in relation to the health record, access to health records, and also the health care facilities spending reports. The Senate doesn't repeal.
So why don't we just adopt the mortuary science fees?
Madam Chair, I move that in Section 50 we adopt the language on repeal of the mortuary science fees.
Any discussion? Seeing none, those in favor say aye.
Aye.
Opposed? Motion is adopted.
Yellow is adopted. It's the same, but not adopted. Good. I had three colors. I had three different colors. Yeah. I just want to lose them.
Yeah. You can have that code tomorrow.
I think the next one that we could do is the one related to public health. That would be House Article 10.
No, I just had my extra one here and I sent it off, but now he's eating here. Why would a person want to come to get it?
This is 10 and beyond.
Have to bring popcorn.
Madam Chair, Article 10 in the House and various sections of Articles 7 and 8 in the Senate. House Section 1 is House only, and it classifies data collected by the birth defects registry system as private.
We'll hold that.
House Section 2 is deals with window fall prevention device codes. And this is this section is identical to Senate File 356, which has passed the floor, except for a technical difference, and the staff would recommend a Senate.
What?
Madam Chair.
Representative Walker.
Thank you, Madam Chair. At this time, the author of this section is not here. I don't believe the House can take a position without her here at this time.
Can we adopt it?
Even if the provisions are identical?
Okay.
We'll do identical.
Okay. So does that mean you want to put a hold on Section 2 for the technical differences?
Yes.
All right. Let's keep going.
House Sections 3 to 6 all deal with changes in well management fees, and this is these are identical to electronic sections.
Chair, I would move that we adopt sections 3 through 6.
Any discussion? Seeing none, those in favor say aye.
Aye. Aye.
Opposed? The motion is adopted.
Section 7 deals with fees for diagnostic laboratory services. It establishes a fee.
They do that?
Describes who must pay, and this is identical to the section in the Senate.
Technical difference.
Oh, there really isn't a technical difference. That's the state. They are identical.
Cool. Okay. Then, Madam Chair, I would move that we adopt Section 7.
Any discussion? Seeing none, those in favor say aye.
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 Opposed? Motion is adopted.
House Section 8, the corresponding Senate section, deal with changes to the tests for heritable and congenital disorders. And this language is identical except for the amount of fee. And the fee, the House puts the fee at $101 because they include the newborn hearing tracking system fee that's in another section. The Senate has that same fee, but we keep it separate in, keep it in the newborn hearing section. We have the so we correspondingly have the same increase. We just don't combine them all into this section.
Is there a recommendation for where it should be?
I personally recommend keeping it separate, but I don't know if the department has a preference.
Well, Madam Chair, I would move the Senate language in Section 8, and I assume we'll get to the other section in a few minutes.
Any discussion? Seeing none, those in favor say aye.
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 Opposed? Motion is adopted.
House Sections 9 and 10, Sections 9 and 10 deal with
we'll hold both of those.
And Section 11 is a House only, and it lowers the reporting requirement.
We'll threshold. Hold on that.
Okay. Section 12, lead risk assessment, is a House only that lowers the blood level.
We'll hold on that.
Section 13, House section, is another lead section. This is in Senate File 1015. On the floor now. Heard in finance today.
It was amended in finance today. We'll hold this.
Oh, yes. Okay. This section, however, wasn't amended, but it's still on the floor. House Section 14, that makes changes to the abatement program. This corresponding language is in House File 1015.
We'll hold that item.
House Section 15 and Senate Section 19 creates the early hearing detection intervention program, or this is the newborn hearing section that or program that we were talking about the fee in that other section. There are minor differences in the House and Senate. The Senate states an expiration date for the advisory committee, and there might be some differences in the advisory committee. We go through, you know, the state and local government kind of cleans up our advisory committee language. The Senate then does the $21 fee here for this program. And the House adds it in the other section, and then other minor technical differences that we would recommend in the Senate language on that.
Yeah.
Okay, Madam Chair, I would move that in Section 15 we adopt the Senate fee language. And then put a hold on the rest of it.
Any discussion? Seeing none, those in favor say aye.
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 Opposed? The motion is adopted.
Page 9 of House Section 16 is House only and establishes arsenic health risk standards.
Hold that.
And then House Section 17 is the environmental tracking and biomonitoring program that is sitting in the Senate environmental omnibus bill. I think it's still a question of where that's going to be.
So let's hold that, and we'll see if we can get some answers about that.
Then on page 14, House Sections 21 and 23 deal with ambulance services. And these are House only. Section 21 modifies the application of a variance that may be granted by the Emergency Medical Services Board. Section 22.
We will put a hold on that.
Section 23 is repayment of volunteer training, House only.
We'll put a hold on that.
Section 24 is bisphenol A in products for children.
We'll put a hold on that.
House Section 25 makes modifications to the family home visiting program. It's a house only provision.
We'll put a hold on that.
Madam Chair, Section 26 through 41 all deal with changes to the veterinary licensure. And all of them are house only except for 27. Which is identical to Article 8, Section 11 in the Senate. That's relating to the fees.
Okay, so we'll hold all the ones that are not identical here. And
okay, then, Madam Chair, I would move that we adopt Section 27.
Any discussion? Seeing none, those in favor say aye.
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 Opposed? The motion is adopted.
So, Madam Chair, then we're on page 21, Section 42. And this is identical to the Senate File 683, which passed the floor. And it's relating to Minnesota Veteran Home employees and allows them to get a free meal when they work an extra shift.
Okay. We can do that.
Yeah. Madam Chair, I would move we adopt Section 42.
Any discussion? Seeing none, those in favor say aye.
Aye. Aye.
Opposed? The motion is adopted.
Section 43 is house only, and it is relating to lead exposure and, it's relating to the diagnostic screening and preventative services, and it adds.
We'll hold that.
Section 44 is identical to the.
We'll hold that.
Sections 45 through 48 all deal with the PBDEs, and they are house only sections.
We'll hold that.
So then we are on page. 23, Section 49. This section is identical to Senate Section 30. It eliminates the reduction in family planning grants.
Madam Chair, I would move adoption of Section 49.
Any discussion? Seeing none, those in favor say aye.
Aye.
Aye. Aye.
Opposed? Motion is adopted.
Section 50 is house-only language, and it requires the commissioner to set health risk limits for commonly detected contaminants.
We'll hold that.
Section 51 is house-only language, and it relates to funding for environmental justice mapping.
We'll hold that.
Section 52 is house-only language, and it's the legislative findings and purpose for the infant hearing screening section that was previously in this article.
We don't usually have. We usually take these out of the bill when they're going through committee, since it's just adds printing or statutes. We'll hold it.
Should I just get that on there? That's Linda's.
Section 53 is part of the environmental tracking and biomonitoring, which is
we'll
in
hold
the.
That.
Section 54 is house-only language, and it is requiring the commissioner to report to the legislature about routine radiation emissions.
We'll hold that.
Section 55 is house-only language, and it creates a pilot project for fragrance-free schools.
We'll hold that.
Section 56 is house-only language, and it is requiring the Commissioner of Health to create a Lindane committee.
We'll hold that.
Section 57 is house-only language, and it requires the Commissioner of Human Services to ensure medical assistance coverage for arsenic testing.
So close.
We'll hold that. That does seem strange that it would be in this article. Mm.
Section 58 is identical to the Senate file that is still in finance,
we'll
or maybe
that.
Just went to the floor. Section 59 is House language that's identical to Senate file 356, which passed the Senate floor.
We'll and hold that.
Okay. Section 60 is a reviser instruction to update statutory references relating to lead abatements. It's house only.
We'll hold that.
And section 61 is the repealer. I believe that they are identical.
Madam Chair, I would move that we adopt section 61.
Any discussion? Seeing none, those in favor say aye.
Aye.
Opposed? The motion is adopted.
Moving along.
The next article we could do is the forecast adjustments. It doesn't have a summary. It doesn't really need a summary article. So,
forecast adjustments.
Madam Chair, this is the Human Services Forecast Adjustments. It's an article that was, through some miscommunication, not included in the Senate bill, but it's changing appropriations for the current fiscal year, so we need to do it.
The Senate would accept the House language on this article.
Madam Chair, then I would move Article 11.
Any discussion? Seeing none, those in favor say aye.
Aye.
Opposed? The motion is adopted. Okay, I think that completes the work we can do tonight on the side-by-sides. We were going to have some testimony from the department in regard to the health match start date. Somebody could come up to the table who was going to talk to us about that. Mr. Woods, do you have handout materials?
Madam Chair, we had some printouts of the presentation that we have for this evening.
All right, if we can get that handed out to the members of the committee first.
Thank you.
Mr. Woods, I think probably everyone's seen this presentation before. I think the real issue here is when the project will be up and running. The House has taken an 8-month delay in their spreadsheet based on information they were given by people in the department. The project would not be ready to start for 8 months after the forecast projects that it will start.
Madam Chair, members, Barb Julek from the Department of Human Services. The department gave both bodies an estimate of a health match impact based on their health care changes. In both bodies, that was a 5-month delay. The Senate took a 6-month fiscal impact for delay, and the House took an 8. But the department did provide for a 5-month delay based on
right. We did give 1 month wiggle room there
in the House
because
did
we
three.
And they took 3. And is there any reason to think that 3 would be needed? Well, I guess this is serious. The real question is the reason they said that they took an 8-month delay was because they had been given information by the department that the project would not be ready to start, regardless of what we have in our bills. And if that's true, then we need to know about that.
Madam Chair, members of the committee, my name is Larry Woods with the Minnesota Department of Human Services, and with me this evening is Linda Davis Johnson, who is the project director of our Health Match project. We did have a presentation that would give an overview of the Health Match project. We will short-circuit that and try to focus down simply on timeline and timeline changes within our project to give you an idea of what has occurred very quickly and where we think we're going at this point in time, if that's adequate for you. Excuse me, while I get organized here. The critical thing I'd like to say before we start talking about timelines is just to make sure we have a level playing field on what Health Match really is. And it is an automated eligibility determination system for health care, and it's rules-driven. And that's very, very critical, because if you've read the recent report from the Office of the Legislative Auditor, we do have some issues in terms of improving the integrity determinations that go along with health care. That's a very big issue in a $6 billion program. And the fact that this is going to be rules-driven allows us to use the technology to replace the manual processes that have to happen now in the 87 counties and at the Minnesota Care Operations. That is very, very critical to our success. It's very critical to satisfying the next pending legislative audit, and it is also very critical, if you're familiar with what's happening at the federal level, in the performance error rate measurement concepts. We will be reviewed by the federal government in fiscal year 9, and subsequent to that, there will be potential errors applied to each state. Health Match is critical to allow us to overcome the potential that we have both at the state and federal level for program integrity issues. Ms. Davis-Johnson and I will kind of share some of the discussions here, and then we will stand for questions.
Madam Chair, members of the committee, I can understand why there was some discussion relating to, is it 5 months, 6 months, or 8 months? And part of that has been the process of discovery of building the system. Further down in your handouts, there's a slide entitled Health Match System Magnitude. And this perhaps can put Health Match into context with what's going on in some other areas of the country. Our system that we are building is running at current time 16,000 eligibility rules for health care processing only. The framework that we are using is being used by three other states. We based our estimations on the vendors' experiences in those other states. The state of Wyoming, using the same framework, is developing a system for cash and food support and health care. They're only running 3,000 rules. So some of our history of why our timelines were off were based on some underestimating of the work. Those 16,000 rules are only one component of what we're building with Health Match, and all of these individual components in and of themselves are significant undertakings. If we were to just build a rules engine, that takes some time. But we're also building a system that involves 600 screens that workers could potentially look at. Fortunately, no worker will ever have to see all of them. But we've got 18 system interfaces. We've
Excuse
got 140
me for a
reports.
Minute.
Yes, ma'am.
We really don't need to hear about how hard it is to put this together. We've been hearing about that for the last 4 years, I think. What we need to know is whether the forecast on Health Match is correct or if something has changed since the forecast was issued in regard to the timeline for it.
No, Madam Chair, there has been no change.
Madam Chair, we did, again, provide each body with a five-month estimate. Changes were made in each body above that estimate, but that is what we have provided.
Okay. So a reasonable amount of wiggle room would be appropriate, but if we're delaying it intentionally beyond that, that would put the project that we've invested all this money into just on hold for no reason. And it would delay the counties who are anxiously waiting for it to make their systems improved.
Madam Chair, members, we agree that the county is anxiously waiting, as are we. And as we move forward, yes, there is a potential for change. And that's a very realistic concept because as we come out of this legislative session, as you've said around the table tonight and talked about changes that are going to be occurring, we are going to have to incorporate those change into the Health Match project. Do we know exactly what that time frame is going to be? No, we don't, because we don't know exactly what's going to come out of this session. And we also don't know the impact of an announcement that we received today that the assets of the corporation that we have under contract to build this system were sold to a multinational firm this morning. There's going to be an impact there. So there's some unknown impacts on this timeline, and as soon as we can determine those concepts, we will certainly bring those to you immediately. But there are some unknowns. There's no question about that. Yeah, Madam Chair, yes. And both bills, I believe, are within the reasonable frame of risk for the unknowns that we have in terms of setting our timelines at this point in time.
Right. So unless we are, for some unknown reason, adopting something out of the wild blue yonder that isn't in either bill, then the five-month time period is about right.
Madam Chair, about is a good term.
Well, that's why we gave a month of extra. But would it be reasonable to say 8 months, 3 months wiggle room is appropriate?
Madam Chair, I thought the witness just said either of the House's positions would be within a reasonable estimation of error. I think that's what the witness just testified to.
Madam Chair, Representative, yes.
Well, it makes a lot of difference which one you take. Senator Prettner-Solon?
What is the date that we're looking at, and what is the window within which that's accurate?
What's the forecast date? Is that, Madam Chair?
I believe that the forecast date was January 1st of 2008.
Madam Chair, members, I do believe also that the information that was presented to the Office of Legislative Auditor is probably the best estimate of what we have at this point in time, given the fact that we have the unknowns of legislative change and sale impact. And that would be looking at the time period of, again, mid-2008. Probably within that time frame we've already talked about, in the 5 to 8 time frame.
And, Mr. Woods, when are you going to know what the impact of the sale is? I mean, would it be in time for this conference committee next week or so?
Madam Chair, members, we are dealing with a multinational organization here that's very familiar with Medicaid environment. We would anticipate that they would be in communication with us pretty quickly. But to say it's going to be within 4 weeks after they come in, fully assess the impact of what they purchased in Minnesota as well as the three other states that this company is dealing with, it would be difficult to say that it's going to be within 1 month. We will, however, now that the sale has occurred, begin negotiating or discussing our situation immediately with this firm. We have been unable to do so, of course, until the sale was finalized. But we do have an intention of getting them to step forward quickly and to embrace the concept that they need to help work with us to get this system implemented as quickly as possible. It's in their interest, and it's in our interest. But I cannot promise you that we would have some conclusive information by end of the conference committee.
Madam Chair?
Representative Thiessen.
In the legislative auditor's report, it says the DHS executives estimate pilot implementation begins November 2008 through mid-2009. I mean, does that reflect where the agency's position is?
Madam Chair, Representative Thiessen, it was in the third to fourth quarter of 2008, yes.
And that is what's reflected in the forecast.
Madam Chair, I thought the forecast was January of 08.
Well, I'm trying to find out.
I agree with you.
I mean, they said the forecast had not changed. We're just trying to get all four corners of this answer nailed down. Representative Abler?
I think I have two questions. Mr. Woods, is the impact of the sale the liability of the new owner, or is it something that we'll have to absorb as a state? Or is that something to be negotiated somehow?
Madam Chair, Representative Abler, the impact, we believe, is the very strong potential for a positive impact, but that's only our estimation right now because we're talking about an organization that is multinational. They are very much engaged in Medicaid operations. They are currently the fiscal agent in 11 states. Now, that's not to suggest that they want to be the fiscal agent in Minnesota, but what it does suggest is that they understand the criticality of not having a problem arise in a state like Minnesota, which is one of the forefront states in terms of operations in the Medicaid world today. So we do think it might have a very positive potential. They'll want to see success. We will want to see success.
And just one more question. Mr. Woods, when the opportunity came by to head up this project, did you have two choices? This and something else? Or did you, it's supposed to be a joke. what did you turn down to get to do this? Never mind.
If we could just go back to the previous question about what the start date is and whether it changes the forecast.
Madam Chair, the forecast for full implementation of the conversion of cases into health match is October 08. That's what's, I believe, reflected in the forecast. And if that's incorrect, I will correct it by tomorrow.
All right.
That's what's in the forecast.
Questions? Representative Huntley.
Madam Chair and Mr. Woods, first of all, what was the financial condition of the company that just got sold? It's my understanding they were close to collapse.
Madam Chair, Representative Huntley, I believe it. What I can say is that they were it's very fortunate for them that they were purchased by this multinational corporation that does have good assets and does have Medicaid experience.
And Madam Chair and Mr. Woods, you said the startup date would depend somewhat on what the legislature passed this year. And what would happen if we passed Cover All Kids to the deadline for the health match?
Madam Chair, Representative Huntley, one of the things that we would have mentioned had we been able, if we'd gone through the entire presentation at this point, is that we are aware of the fact that, that implementation of health matches is been problematic for the legislature, it's been problematic for the counties, it's been problematic for everyone. So what we have proposed, and you'll see in the handout, is that we will move forward with parallel development on a number of issues. That means what we propose to do is that we will proceed with modifying our legacy system so that we can ensure that the amount of change necessary to meet your needs is there, and at the same time move ahead with changing the health match system. So we'll try to satisfy both meeting legislative need as well as incorporating this new system and incorporating those changes into that new system.
Madam Chair.
So the question was the House position on various items, including Cover All Kids, that would change the requirements of the health match system would be delayed by how many months?
Madam Chair, the fiscal note we put on that was 5 months.
Okay. Other questions? Senator Pretner Solon.
Madam Chair, Mr. Witz, I'm having a hard time with this because the information we've received before is that if you did some type of parallel thing, that it would incur a higher fiscal note. And will there be a higher fiscal note now as a result of this?
Madam Chair, Senator Pretner Solon, when we've been fiscal noting changes, we have been providing fiscal notes for the dual track, and that has been discussed with the fiscal analysts on how we are doing fiscal notes, and so it was understood by both bodies that all fiscal notes would assume the cost of the dual track system for those changes, for just those changes that were being looked at.
So,
Senator Pretner Solon?
What can you tell us about this new company? What is the name of it?
Madam Chair, Senator, the name of the company is Affiliated Computer Services Incorporated, or commonly referred to as ACS. It's stationed in Texas. As I said, they're a multinational organization. Fiscal agents, which means that they run the Medicaid operations, MMIS, Medicaid Management Information System operations in 11 states. So they are the second largest fiscal agent contractor in the Medicaid world today. Just so that you know, we are one of the 16 self-operated states. We do our own business, and we will propose to do that with health match implementation. That will be discussed with the contractor. We've already done the knowledge transfer. We have our people prepared to take the system over and to run it when the time comes. But it's Affiliated Computer Services Incorporated of Texas, out of Texas.
Madam Chair. Senator Pretner Solon.
Mr. Witz, I heard glowing reports about the former company, and I'm wondering what your opinion is of them now. And are we suited? Have they perhaps caused us to stall or not move along as rapidly as we could? And are we suited to move forward with this new company?
Well, and I might add to Senator Pretner Solon's question, is this new company one of the options we had when we let the original contract?
Madam Chair, Senator, let me answer that second question first. They chose, ACS chose not to bid on the original development activity. So, no, they were not a member of the initial 9 organizations that had contracted. And our relationship with our current contractor, and the reason that we selected this contractor is that there is not a national model for healthcare eligibility determination, an automation of healthcare eligibility determination. This particular organization had put forward a rules-based eligibility determination process primarily focused on cash and food stamps, but it was a strong foundation for us to begin adding the healthcare components. That was the reason that we went down this route. It didn't require recreating and building something from the ground up. We had a framework, a proven framework, proven in the state of Massachusetts, and we elected to build up from that point. As in any relationship, our time with the contractor was probably very much like a marriage. There are ups and downs, and we're very encouraged, however, that the sale will bring in someone strong Medicaid experience with resources to possibly supplement the resources we have available on the project today.
So one more question. Thank you, Madam Chair. Mr. Witz, you suggested that there might be some reason to hope that this can be a very positive arrangement. Is it possible that we might need a quicker deadline than October 2008?
Madam Chair, Senator, that's very, very difficult to say. If this particular contractor comes in and brings in a significant amount of resource to help push us over the edge, I shouldn't say that, we're already over the edge. To provide the resources to move this along aggressively, and if we move forward with our plan of staging our implementation so that we can focus immediately on getting forward with the issues related to the Minnesota Care operations, it's not inconceivable, but it's really difficult to say until we've had an opportunity to sit down with them and determine what is their commitment to this being an extremely successful project.
Senator Prentner Solis.
Thank you, Madam Chair. Mr. Witz, how flexible is this program going to be once it's built? We change our programs. We move from one program to another. We expand our programs. We cut them back. How adaptable is it going to be?
Madam Chair, Ms. David Johnson will address that. But when I talked earlier about rules-based, that is our opportunity for significant improvement, and Ms. David Johnson can address that.
Madam Chair, Senator, it depends on the level and type of change. Some changes we're going to be able to incorporate quite quickly because it'll be a matter of going in, without getting into too much detail, and changing parameters. Other changes, we're going to be able to give better feedback to the legislature in the proposal phase so that we can let you know with a greater degree of certainty how long some will take. I don't want to mislead and say that we're going to be able to do everything rapidly because that's not the case. We will be able to do it quicker than we do now, and in some cases we'll be able to do it quite quickly. However, the addition of new major programs will always be a significant undertaking because of the analysis involved and the interoperability of our programs.
Well, even if it's a major change, is it going to take more than a year?
Madam Chair, members of the committee, without knowing exactly what the major change is, it's hard for me to respond to that. However, if it's in line with other major changes that we've said, I would not think that it would take longer than a year once Health Match is up and running. The difficulty that we've had up to this point is in trying to make changes to a moving target. Once we have Health Match in place, it will be much easier to make the design changes.
Well, then I would say that it would be definitely an improvement. For those of you who are new, number of you, and for those of you that might not have been watching as closely, we've been operating on, you know, a year would be kind of short, I would say. 2-year time frames under the existing system to implement any change we would make practically. It's been very frustrating and only silver lining, if you want to call it that, to last year's session was nothing got done, so the delay didn't matter. Now they figured out a way to do a dual track system so we don't have to worry about delays that would be longer than otherwise would normally take. So I don't think delaying health match beyond what it would otherwise need to be based on our policies is a very good idea myself. Are there other questions? Senator Lynch.
Madam Chair, thank you. I'd just like to make a comment. I may be new to this organization, but what I do know is that we've spent over $20 million on something that we have no results to show for it, and how sad a state of affairs it is that we have to have a discussion tonight to figure out where we're at on this continuum so that we can do good things for children and families in the state of Minnesota. This is not acceptable.
Well, Senator Lynch, the reason we're having the discussion is because in a discussion I had earlier today with Representative Huntley, he indicated that the reason they took an eight-month delay was because they were told that the program wasn't going to be ready to go anyway. And so we're having this discussion to try and get some clarification around that, because I have never had any discussion like that with anybody from the department, nor have they given any of that kind of feedback to our staff. Other questions?
I'll just comment, Madam Chair. I think what we heard from them is that 5 months is reasonable, and 6 months is reasonable, and 8 months is reasonable.
That isn't what I heard, Representative Huntley. That is not what I heard. I heard that five months is what they think it will be, that giving them a month leeway is maybe reasonable, but, you know, after a certain point, you're just delaying the project. And part of our frustration is that it's been delayed and delayed and delayed already. So,
Madam Chair.
Senator Dahl.
Thank you, Madam Chair. Mr. Woods, I guess my question is, if you have a contract with this ACS now, and is that just to complete the program? And then who's going to run it after that? And, you know, if there's a disruption in the service, or let's say you sever your relationships with that company, are they going to take proprietary information back with them, and now we're going to have problems if we need to make changes?
Mr. Woods.
Madam Chair, Senator Dahl, we own the framework that the system is currently being built on, and we have and are developing the technical resources internally to the department to do the subsequent development and maintenance of this system. So, indeed, after the system is implemented, the department will not be dependent on this contractor in future sessions and future years. We will own the system. We will run the system. And I know most of you might not have been here in 1994, but we went through this before. There were concerns about our implementation of our Medicaid management information system. It is one of the premier systems in the state today. So, yes, we've experienced delay. We experienced delay then, but it will be the quality system. And I would encourage you to keep in mind some things that's happened in other states that have attempted to implement these systems, and they have focused on time, not quality. And when you do that, you have what happened in the most recent implementation in Colorado, where they're 100, 200. In excess of $200 million was spent to implement their system with problems because quality wasn't their push. Quality has always been the push in Minnesota, and quality is our push today. I sincerely regret time delays, but I would sincerely regret if we rolled out a system that our 87 counties had significant problems with. We would be back here then, and you would not be very pleased if we rolled out a poor system, and we will not do that.
Mr. Woods, don't misinterpret anyone's comments here. We are not telling you to get done faster than you need to do the project correctly. However, we are discussing about whether we should be delaying it more than you need to do the project properly. And we're just trying to get straight answers about that.
Madam Chair.
Madam Chair, thank you.
Representative Thiessen.
Because I have a little bit, after this last question, I am a little bit confused. What I heard was that 5 or 6 or 8 months from Mr. Woods is that you really have no way of knowing that. And on this implementation, I'd also note in the legislative auditor's report that there's a discussion of November 2008 through mid-2009, which I think is beginning of the pilot implementation, and that they don't, and I'll quote from it, at this point, DHS cannot estimate how long it will take to implement the functions excluded from the initial release, nor can it estimate how legislative changes in 08, 09, or 10 might affect full implementation of Health Match. So I guess what I'm hearing is that you really have no idea when this is going to be, but the best estimates are that it's not going to be, I would say, even 5 months after that. And so I'd encourage you to maybe reconsider where your forecast is. And based on our past experience with Health Match and how this is, how the department's estimates have gone, you know, we seem to underestimate the time again and again. So I guess that would more be a comment, Madam Chair.
Well, Representative Thiessen, that's part of the reason we're trying to get the answers here. In fairness, I don't think the department has said anything different than what they said in their fiscal notes to us. They're giving each side 5 months, and they think it's reasonable to take an extra month in case. But I didn't hear them say, 8 months, 9 months, 10 months, a year is reasonable extra time.
Madam Chair, we must have heard different things.
Madam Chair.
Senator Prettner-Solon.
Madam Chair, I'm still confused what 5 months relates to.
Changes in each bill regarding eligibility for health care programs.
And
we have different eligibility changes. Either one that would be adopted, they're saying would be about a 5 month delay.
And that currently would be on a parallel system. That isn't dependent upon Health Match being up and running. Is that right?
Madam Chair, Senator Prettner-Solon, all the fiscal notes assumed a parallel tracking so that the changes could get on MMIS and implemented irregardless of the Health Match start date, but the changes would also have to be programmed into Health Match. And it's those changes, along with the work in MMIS that is delaying the Health Match implementation date. But because we're doing the dual track, you'll get implementation dates sooner on MMIS than you would if it was just on Health Match.
Okay. So, Madam Chair, just to be clear, the 5 months is the implementation of any policy we change then?
No, Madam Chair, the 5 months is the implementation of the Health Match system, how much that's being delayed by the changes. The changes themselves would be programmed onto both MMIS and Health Match, and I believe we provided dates for the variety of changes based on when MMIS can get them up and running.
Right, Senator Prettner-Solon, it doesn't have to do with when the change takes place in the program, because they're running it on a dual system. But that does make a difference as to how much longer it takes for them to incorporate those changes into Health Match, and so when Health Match would be up and running.
I'm still confused, because October 2008 is more than 5 months out from our last projected date.
Madam Chair, if you have a change, the farmer depreciation, I think, is in both bills. We have given a date on when that can get into MMIS, and let's say it's January 1st, 08. So we've given you a fiscal note for the farmer depreciation for January 1st fiscal 08, or calendar year 08, and that's when MMIS can get that program. But we also need to make that change on Health Match, and that change, along with all the other changes, is going to cause an additional 5 months of work on Health Match. So instead of Health Match coming up on October of 08, it'll come up on March of 09 or whatever, 5 months later that is, because we have to get all those changes on Health Match as well. The policy change will be put into effect because we'll run it off of MMIS. Once Health Match is ready, we'll convert all those cases from MMIS with those policy changes into Health Match, which will also have those policy changes.
Is that clear now?
I think so.
Thanks. Other questions?
Madam Chair. I was talking to Mr. Green, the budget officer, and he just to clarify the answer to the question, the official answer, their best estimate, is the 5 months. And it's the official fiscal number that they're going to stick with, and if it winds up being wrong, then it's a matter of the forecast or something that would come after our time. So that's just to make it nail it down. So the fiscal note is as you read it. So just to... If that helps, I don't know.
Any other discussion or questions? Senator Lori.
I just have to try to get this right. So, because I'm not sure what the 5 months applies to either. We had a date of January 1st, 2008 was when it was going to happen, was when it was going to come up, was the most recent. And then the legislative auditor's report said October 2008. And then the 5 months is?
The second forecast delayed it, I believe, from January 1st to October of 2008.
And so the 5 months.
Ms. Julek's going to clarify that tomorrow if that's not correct.
I believe it was March 08 to October 08, but we can clarify what the change was.
All right.
The 5 months that we keep talking about is from October of 08.
Yes.
Okay.
And Ms. Julek, it's really important we get some clarification on this right away, because if it's not what the forecast said, then it changes the forecast. And that will kind of throw kind of a monkey wrench into our spreadsheets.
There is no change in the forecast. I just need to get what the correct dates are in the forecast, and I believe it's October 08.
All right.
So I just need to clarify that that's what's in the forecast.
All right. Any other questions? Not then the meeting tonight will be adjourned, and we are supposed to try to start at 1 o'clock every day, and you know, I'm just kind of thinking maybe we should just, since we haven't been able to do that for the last 2 days, maybe we should say 1:30.
Tomorrow. Madam Chair, we're going to have a long session tomorrow.
Smoking ban.
So I would suggest that we meet, call the chair, but probably an hour after the last body.
Well, Representative Huntley, that's fine. Do you have any idea when that might be?
It's a smoking ban, Madam Chair.
It's October
08.
Well, we understand that sometimes, you know, we're not in control of these things, but I would say this. We are under a lot of pressure from the leadership to get this conference committee done. We finally have some more work that we can do tomorrow. And if we don't get time to meet, we aren't going to be able to get done. People cannot have it both ways. Expect us to get done and then not give us the time to meet.
Madam Chair, just a question for the weekend, since certain spouses of ours might have questions.
Here.
You think Saturday and Sunday both?
I don't know, but Saturday for sure.
Thank you.
Any other questions or discussion?
Awesome.
With that, the meeting will be adjourned to the call of the chair.
Holly's already coming down to see me this week.
Have a nice night.